Well, again, it's a pleasure to be coming to you today, wherever you are, actually whatever day that is that you're listening to this. I pray God will bless you and He will bless me that I might be a blessing to you in your growing closer to the Lord Jesus Christ. Today we want to look at Christ's humanity forsaken. And of course, when we say Christ's humanity forsaken, we mean ultimately forsaken by God the Father. The only begotten Son of God, born from the womb of a virgin woman, who was impregnated by the Holy Spirit of God, this Son of God would be forsaken in that humanity, cursed with the sins of those for whom He was sacrificed. Jesus Christ would be revealed as the true Passover Lamb, sacrificed for the sins of His people, the elect of God. After the last Passover supper shared by Christ with the disciples, we see this recorded in Matthew chapter 26. And this, of course, is speaking of the Garden of Gethsemane, Christ with His disciples. Then Jesus came with them to a place called Gethsemane, and said to the disciples, "Sit here while I go and pray over there." And He took with Him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, James and John, and He began to be sorrowful, full of sorrow, and deeply distressed. Then He said to them, "My soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even to death." This is deep, deep sorrow, folks. "Stay here and watch with me." He desired the company of His fellows. "Stay here and watch with me." He went a little farther and fell on His face and prayed, saying, "Oh, my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as You will." Then He came to the disciples and found them sleeping, and said to Peter, "What? Could you not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. The spirit indeed willing, but the flesh weak." Again, a second time, He went away and prayed, saying, "Oh, my Father, if this cup cannot pass away from me unless I drink it, Your will be done." And remember, folks, He was under great stress, great sorrow, even unto death. We see in Psalm 88 a reflection of why Christ was suffering such exceeding sorrow. Upon a surface reading of Psalm 88, there appears to be nothing but doom and gloom throughout the psalm. I know after reading that psalm early in my Christian life, I stayed away from it. It was just too much for me. It just seemed to be no hope. What in the world was this psalm doing in the Bible? But folks, God can reveal what is below the surface, where He shows us and we find the deep things of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 9 and 10. But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man, the heart of humanity, the things which God has prepared for those who love Him. My goodness. Thanks be to God. But God has made revelation to us through His Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. And I pray, folks, that God will show us those things in Psalm 88. Psalm 88, you have some notes underneath the psalm which were penned. And I'm going to read part of that, which is right underneath the heading of Psalm 88. A song, a psalm of the sons of Korah. A contemplation of Heman the Ezrahite. The sons of Korah. Korah was the great-grandson of the patriarch Levi, from whom came the Israelite priesthood, the tribe of Levi. Korah and the brothers Moses and Aaron were first cousins. This is the same Korah who led a revolt against Moses and Aaron and was killed when the earth opened its mouth and swallowed Korah and all the men with him and their households. You could look to number 16 for that account. Now Heman, the Ezrahite, who is given credit for penning this psalm, he is alluded to as a man of wisdom. In Kings 4:31, he is listed among the sons of the Kohathites. Kohath was a son of Levi. You find that in 1 Chronicles 6:33. Heman's service to King David is recorded in 1 Chronicles 25. He was a grandson of Samuel. Now, let's you and I view what the Spirit of Christ said through Heman, reflecting Christ in his humanity. Psalm 88. O Lord, Christ speaking to God the Father, O Lord, God of my salvation. I have cried out day and night before you. Let my prayer come before you. Incline your ear to my cry. O Lord, God of my salvation. I would ask you to look at this term here, my salvation, a little differently to begin with. Friends, salvation is Christ's. You can go nowhere but to Christ for salvation. Salvation is His. But in speaking of His very own being saved, we're going to see that a little later and deal with it a little more in depth. Friends, you know, when He went to the grave, His soul did not see corruption. His body did not see corruption. So God, the Father, was the God of His salvation in that sense. Verse 3, a reflection of Gethsemane, no doubt about it. For my soul is full of troubles. My soul is full of troubles. Certainly, we can relate to that in some very, very small degree when compared to the Lord Jesus Christ, suffering for the sins of all His elect. My soul is full of troubles, being forsaken by His Father, and my life draws near to the grave. We see Christ here, I would suggest to you, with the cross in sight. He's drawing near. His life draws near to the grave as He lies there, as He's nailed there to the cross. I am counted with those who go down to the pit. I am like a man, no strength. On that cross, folks, He could not stop death in His humanity. It was purposed by God, His Father, that He die in such a way. He was like a man, like a human being, as He was, unable to stop that death. And when He says, I'm like those that go down to the pit, I want to look at Psalm 28. And this is going to give us a little more depth as we look at Psalm 28 and liken it to what we've just seen in Psalm 88. Psalm 28:1, again, the Lord Jesus says, to you I will cry, O Lord, my rock. Do not be silent to me, lest if you are silent to me, I become like those who go down to the pit. Now, folks, I know this is a psalm of David, but as the Lord Jesus Christ said very clearly in Luke 24, these psalms speak of Him. And we see Christ in these psalms. Christ was faithful. Even in the pit, the soul of Christ was faithful to God the Father. In verses 6 and 7 of Psalm 28, we read this. Blessed be the Lord, says Christ to His Father, because He has heard the voice of my supplications. The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusted in Him. He's not talking about the heart being in his chest. He's talking about the heart of his soul, the center of his being. My heart trusted in Him, and I am helped. From the pit, the Lord Jesus cried that out to God the Father. God, this is Christ's faith while in the pit. When He was sent to hell for the sins of His people, His soul in hell. Therefore, my heart greatly rejoices, and with my song I will praise Him. You know, you've seen, is it, in one of the letters to the Corinthians, sorrowful yet always rejoicing. Speaks of Christ. Full of sorrow, but rejoicing because he believed in God, his Father. I am counted with those who go down to the pit. I am like a man. No strength. He could not stop death in his humanity. Verse 5, Psalm 88, adrift among the dead. I think your King James say free among the dead. I like that word, adrift among the dead. Like the slain who lie in the grave, whom you remember no more, and who are cut off from your hand. That word like is very important. It's as if he were abandoned to the second death. And folks, that's what's in store for those who have no faith in the Lord God. Verse 6, you, I want you to listen to all these yous. Who laid him in the grave? Who took him to that cross? You have laid me in the lowest pit. He's praying to his Father. In darkness, in the depths. It was God, the Father, who put him there. For the sake of God's righteousness, that his people might be saved. For the sake of God's justice, that sin might be dealt with among the people of God. Verse 7. Your wrath, God, your wrath lies heavy upon me, says the Christ from the pit. And you have afflicted me with all your waves. Selah. Pause. That's a musical pause. But here as we read, we need to pause and meditate upon that. Pause. Listen to these things. They're written for our learning. Your wrath lies heavy upon me, and you have afflicted me with all your waves. Isaiah 53. In speaking of Christ, Isaiah says this, surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God and afflicted. But he, Christ, wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities, the chastisement for our peace upon him. And by his stripes, we are healed. And we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord, God the Father, has laid on him, Christ the Son, the iniquity of us all. God's wrath lied heavy upon the Lord Jesus Christ. He was afflicted with all the waves of the wrath of God. Verse 8, Psalm 88, speaking again to the Father, Christ says, you have put away my acquaintances far from me. You have made me an abomination to them. I've looked at that word acquaintances. It means so much more than just someone you're acquainted with. Maybe not the best translation in the world, but it speaks of those who Christ knows. And those who know Christ, he was completely separated from his Father and from those who knew him in the pit. You have made me an abomination to them. Shut up, and I cannot get out. Folks, again, he realized as he prayed there in Gethsemane that the will of God was for him to endure this. Endure the shame of the cross. Endure the death of the pit. And there was no way he could get out of that. No way out of his death and his burial and being sent to the pit. Verse 9, my eye wastes away because of affliction. Lord God, my Father, I have called daily upon you. I have stretched out my hands to you. Again, I would suggest to you, Christ, even in the pit, was faithful to his Father, believed in his Father, full of sorrow, yet always rejoicing, never losing real hope, but expectation was with the Christ. Now, these next five verses, I want you to view them in a particular way. Christ said something in John 12:30 to those around him when God the Father spoke. He said, "This voice did not come because of me, but for your sake." These five verses, though said by the Lord Jesus Christ in anguish of soul, are meant for you. They're meant for me. Christ speaks to the Father and says, "Will you work wonders for the dead? Shall the dead arise and praise you?" Well, both Christ and God's elect did. Christ was raised and did praise the Lord. And you and I will do so. We will be raised back into a glorified body, and we will praise God. Verse 11, another question. Shall your loving kindness be declared in the grave? Your faithfulness in the place of destruction. The death of Christ's humanity is clear evidence of God's love and faithfulness to his elect. So yes, loving kindness and faithfulness of God is declared in the grave and in the place of destruction when it came to Christ. Verse 12. Shall your wonders be known in the dark, and your righteousness in the land of forgetfulness? The answer is yes. Yes. Remember, folks, this is meant for you and I and our learning. Yes. We will know wonders. We will know the righteousness of God, and we'll know it by faith through the Holy Spirit given to us in the new birth. Now, verses 13 and 14 together. Again, remember now, this is written for your sake. But to you, says Christ, you, my Father, I have cried out, O Lord, and in the morning my prayer comes before you. Lord, why did you cast off my soul? Why do you hide your face from me? What did he say from that cross? My God, why have you forsaken me? In his humanity, he cried that out. Well, folks, again, that was done for our sake. Just as the Lord Jesus Christ's prayer in Gethsemane reflected his deep distress, met with his faith in God, his Father. So, those two verses are met with what we see in Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2, you'll remember this. I pray. If not, here it is. The Lord Jesus Christ has just prayed, "Why do you cast off my soul? Why do you hide your face far from me?" Well, listen to this. Also answered in the Psalms by King David, For David says concerning him, concerning Christ. So here we see Christ speaking in another reference from the Psalms. I foresaw the Lord always before my face. I foresaw God the Father always before my face, says the Lord Jesus Christ, for he is at my right hand that I may not be shaken. Therefore, my heart rejoiced, and my tongue was glad. Moreover, my flesh, speaking of Christ's humanity, also will rest in hope. In the grave, the body of Christ rested in hope. For you will not leave my soul in hell. Folks, Christ knew that in hell. And again, the psalm that was written thousands of years, or hundreds of years at least, prior to Christ's crucifixion. It's the word of Christ. You will not leave my soul in hell, his human spirit, his soul in hell, nor will you allow your Holy One to see corruption. His human body would not rot. Christ knew that. You have made known to me the ways of life. Did you hear that? You will make me full of joy in your presence. Christ says that from the pit. Now, folks, we know the end. We know that he was raised from the dead. We know that he ascended to be back with the Father in a glorified body. We know that he ever lives to make intercession for you and I. Now, verses 15 through 18. And these are these verses that bring us to a close. We again sound as if we are in the depths of doom and gloom. And that's one side of it. But that's not all of it. Again, remember, the Spirit of God reveals the deep things of God to his people. Christ speaks of himself here in verse 15, Psalm 88. Afflicted and ready to die from youth. Did you hear that? Christ was afflicted and ready to die from youth. I suffer your terrors, God's terrors. Christ in his humanity suffering God's terrors for you, if you're one of the true people of God. I am distraught. I think the King James says distracted here. And what that means is he was confused with anxiety in his humanity. Christ speaks to his Father further. Your fierce wrath has gone over me. Your terrors have cut me off. That was true. But it was true for a moment and would change. They came around me all day long like water. Think of yourself being flooded with water. What does it do? It covers you up. They engulfed me altogether. What engulfed him? The fierce wrath and terror of God. These things he suffered for the sake of his people. But folks, he never lost faith. I mean, can you say that in the pit, even though Christ relates to us all of these feelings, these emotions, these stresses of mind, can you say that Christ was faithless? That he lost faith in God the Father, even in the midst of the pit? No. Never happened. Loved one and friend, you, God my Father, have put far from me my acquaintances into darkness. I do want to say one thing about the verse 15 there where Christ was ready to die from his youth. Folks, he said that he came to give his life a ransom for many. Long before he died. That's found both in Matthew and Mark's gospel. But again, the psalm ends. The psalm ends. Loved one and friend, God, you have put far from me my acquaintances into darkness. And boom, that's the end of it. Is there any hope? Is there any expectation? Well, because of the fact that Jesus Christ suffered the terrors and fierce wrath of God for his loved ones, his friends, who are those who are acquainted with him and he with them, they will not be left in darkness far from Christ. Now, how do you know that? The Word of God. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verses, well, just one verse. 2 Corinthians 4, 6. This is how we end, folks. After all of that negativity, the doom and gloom of Psalm 88, 2 Corinthians 4, 6. For it is the God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, which he did in the resurrection of Jesus Christ, in the resurrection of you and I in the new birth, in our resurrections from the dead physically, when we'll be made one with Christ in a glorified body. God has commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shined in our hearts unto the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Amen.